na 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 na
even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
Good evening, and you are very welcome along to the Rovers Review here on Ocean FM Sport. Ronan Flanagan here with you this week, and this week we will look back on all things Sligo Rovers. Sligo Rovers men's team returned to action following the mid-season break last night on Saturday evening with a North West derby against Finn Harps. Here is how the action unfolded in the company of our commentary team of Donal Ryan and Mark Rossiter.
Kirk comes across into the middle, finds Keane, spreads it out left to Lewis Banks, knocks it out to the right again to Carlos Sullivan, just makes his way into the box, plays it on the ground, is cleared away by Rob Seven, falls to Keane, first time, it's deflected into the back of the net, 2 minutes on the clock, Sligo Rovers 1, Finn Harps 0, and it's Aidan Keane, the man who bagged a hat-trick the last time these two met in the showgrounds, a deflected strike coming off, I think it was Conor Doris, the deflection came off, round his way past Barry McGinley and into the bottom left corner, 2 minutes on the clock, Sligo Rovers 1, Finn Harps 0.
And it has to be said there's a lot of credit for Paddy Kirk there at left back. Took his time, he slung a lovely little ball across the pitch there, came across to Lewis Banks, and you're there, you know, you can feel the dismay here of the fans. The Banks, as he took the touch 25 yards out, didn't let fly, works at the Carlos Sullivan, deflects, you know, he crosses the ball and gets slightly cleared. What a strike though, took a slight deflection past McGinley, but who cares.
Loose pass from Yo-Yo Maddy, and Kirk finds Moorhan. Moorhan goes back to Buckley, who's just sitting outside his box. It's to Shane Blaney. Blaney with a lovely diagonal ball to try and find Carlos Sullivan, and he'll make it. And Mark Anthony McGillie's out. Lovely flick from Carlos Sullivan to get around him, and he knocks it into the back of the net. Excellent footwork from Carlos Sullivan. A lovely flick over Mark Anthony McGillie's head. He had the goal, the whole goal to aim at. McGinley kicks the ball away in frustration. Carlos Sullivan's third goal of the season against his former club, Finn Harps. Sligo Rovers 2, Finn Harps 0.
And you know, like, I know I called him Pineker earlier on, but Blaney looking for that diagonal ball there. What Slevin and McGinley are doing, I don't know, leaving it to each other. Sullivan didn't give up on it. You know, maybe McGinley is looking for Slevin to shield it to him. But Sullivan didn't get up, you know. Pounces on the mistake and makes it 2-0. You know, horrendous from Ollie's point of view, but from Sligo's point of view, I don't think John could have asked for a better start. You know, 2-0 up within 10 minutes.
An excellent diagonal ball out of the heart of the defence from Shane Blaney found Carlos Sullivan that time. Sligo Rovers 2, Finn Harps 0, and the John Russell era in the showgrounds could not be off to a better start. Kirk into Keane from the throw-in. Back with Kirk. He comes back to Seamus Keogh. Keogh in the middle to Niall Moorhan. Moorhan just moves forward. Goes right to Lewis Banks. He presses forward. Lewis Banks wearing the captain's armband. Goes right to Carlos Sullivan. Fizzes the ball across the blocks. Charged down by Rob Slevin. Back with O'Sullivan now. Chips it across the box again. Keane is there. Heads it down again into the back of the net. Sligo Rovers 3. Finn Harps 0. And Keane has his second of the game. 5 minutes to go here. And Rovers have extended their lead. Great cross again. O'Sullivan and Keane combining. Chip ball across the box from the right from Carlos Sullivan. Aidan Keane had time, he had space, he had accuracy with the header to nod it down into the ground beyond Mark Anthony McGinley. And Sligo Rovers have 3 goals in the showgrounds once again this season against Finn Harps.
And it starts from moving the ball really well. Shamie Keogh moved it across to Moorhan. Nine steps inside. A fella tried to cut off the angle for it. I didn't actually see who it was. Tried to cut off the angle, stepped inside, plays Lewis Banks. You know, feeds it out to O'Sullivan. He tries to play it early. It's blocked. Takes his time. Stands it up. Keane is in the right place, right time. And do you know what? Nobody's happier than me that he scored two tonight. He's been excellent.
McGinty sends a ball long right for Rovers. Headed out of play. It would be a throw-in now. Rovers just running down the clock. And Damien McGrath brings the third North West derby of the season to a close. 3 out of 3 for Sligo Rovers.
3-0 the score here in the showgrounds. Aidan Keane opened the scoring with a goal in the third minute. That lead was doubled by Carlo Sullivan after a mix-up in the Hearts defence. He capitalised it with a lovely little flick over Mark Anthony McGinley's head, rounded him nicely and put it into the empty net. And Keane finally put the icing on the cake with a goal 5 minutes from time, heading down into the back of the net to give Rovers the third goal and his ninth goal of the season. A very impressive performance straight back after the break, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're looking at important points in the game, first 7 minutes, 2-0 up. McGinty had one thing to do in the first half, making that save from McWoods. McWoods done really well to make that chance for himself, but the angle we were at, we could see it was being curled right into the corner, and it was a wonderful save. From that there, you're looking at second half. Keane has that opportunity to put a 3-0 early on in the second half, say about 17, 18 minutes into the second half. Tries to chip the keeper, albeit looking, you know, it was the best chance that I have until he scored, you know, but he looks a different player than he did, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So it'll be encouraging to see how he comes on in the second half of the season.
So a 3-0 win for Sligo Rovers over Finn Harps. After the game, our match commentator Donal Ryan spoke to Sligo Rovers manager John Russell.
John, well done on the win tonight. The John Russell era is off to a good start.
Yeah, delighted to get a win tonight. It was important after the break that we had, that we came in and home game and got 3 points. And first half, really good. You know, the energy, our pressing, we're aggressive in our play, and to get the two early goals really settled us. Second half, you know, there's definitely areas we can improve on. I felt we probably made a bit of a scrap, and in fairness to Finn Harps, they were a threat throughout the night, first half and second half, and we had to rely on Ed at times, and he pulled off some great saves. And, you know, for me, he's the best keeper in the league, and I was really pleased that he got a clean sheet for himself tonight.
Well, that's John Russell after last night's 3-0 victory over Finn Harps at the Showgrounds. With me this evening is Donal Ryan, who was commentating on yesterday's game. Donal, 3 goals, 3 points, the third victory over Finn Harps this season. What more could you ask for?
Not a lot, Ronan. Not a lot. Yeah, I think a lot of Rovers fans were coming out of the Showgrounds last night very happy with off the back of that performance. Like you said, our third win against Finn Harps this season. 5 goals for Aidan Keane against them this season, five, and all five coming in the Showgrounds. Great to see Keane hitting the back of the net once again, lifting him up to second in the goal scoring charts. He's only one behind Jamie McGonagall now. McGonagall's on 10, Keane has 9 now for the season, so certainly I'd say there'll be a couple of people keeping tabs on him. But just reflecting back on the game itself last night, Ronan, first half Rovers came flying out of the traps, blistering quick start, and well rounded off by Keane hitting the back of the net after 3 minutes. Horrendous mix up in the Harps defence for the second goal. Lovely little flick from Carlo Sullivan. I was right behind him when he did it, and just a little flick with the back of his heel up over Mark Anthony McGinley, who had an absolute shocker for the goal, it has to be said. If he's coming out that far, he has to be claiming that ball, not letting it bounce between the defender and Carlo Sullivan. Sullivan still had a lot of work to do, but he did it well, and was a constant threat all night, and he's got a just reward with an assist there at the end when he chipped over for Keane's goal. So yeah, performance wise, I think the first and second half we saw two kind of different performances. Like, Rovers blew Harps away in the first half, although Harps didn't help themselves, and in the second half we saw a more typical Ollie Horgan-esque performance from Finn Harps. They dug in, were stubborn, frustrated Rovers a fair bit. Both keepers didn't really have a lot to do in the second half. And, you know, Rovers eventually were lucky that Keane managed to just round it off with a third goal 5 minutes from time.
And you mentioned there, Donal, about Aidan Keane, I suppose, as you were saying there, his ninth goal of the season. We saw a very different, not sort of starting lineup, but a formation from Sligo Rovers yesterday. They kind of looked like they were playing a 4-2-3-1 formation. I suppose Keane in the 10 in the first half, mostly with Max Mash up front. I suppose the question everyone wants to know is would that be John Russell's plan? I suppose Jordan Hamilton, I'm not sure, was he in the squad yesterday for yesterday's game? I don't think he was. So I suppose, is John Russell trying to mould Max Mash into that kind of number 9 for his side?
He could be. He very well could be. It looked kind of like they played a flat 4 across the midfield in the first half anyways, and then kind of had Keane just dropping a little step or two behind Max Mata. And a word on Max Mata as well, he put in a serious shift yesterday. He was unlucky, just couldn't keep himself onside, created some serious chances for himself. There was one in particular that springs to mind where he was offside anyways, but he drew an outrageous save from Mark Anthony McGinley. He headed down into the ground and McGinley somehow managed to palm it up over the crossbar. Just unlucky that he didn't manage to get a couple of goals for himself last night, but a seriously impressive performance from him. In terms of moulding him into kind of like the number 9 or Keane into the number 10, I think it's clear that Keane's position is that target man. That's where we're going to get the most joy, or where Sligo Rovers are going to get the most joy out of Aidan Keane. And you can see, like, with 9 goals already this season, I mean, the stats speak for themselves there. But it kind of changed then when he took off Mata for Keogh. It was clear that Rovers shifted back into the 4-2-3-1 that we're more used to seeing. The wingers pushed on a bit. Morehead and Cawley sat back in the middle of the park, and Keogh slipped into the number 10 role behind Keane. And so yeah, it looks like that was possibly what John Russell could be, another blueprint of one of his teams that we could see going forward. But started off, to me, it looked where he was kind of happy to play a flat four across the middle of the park until Seamus Keogh came on, and he changed it up a little bit then.
And we saw Gary Buckley coming off at half time. Now, we haven't heard yet if it's an injury or not, is it just precautionary, but Nando Pynacker, who played the World Cup playoff for New Zealand during the week, I suppose it would be a worry if Gary Buckley did pick up an injury in the first half of that game.
I don't think it was anything too serious. Like, I don't think Rovers fans have any major worries about Gary Buckley's fitness. I think he did kind of pick up a little bit of a knock in the first half, and I think it was probably just precautionary, just to take him off with the amount of games that we have coming up. I mean, we know that we have at least 2 extra games in July, with possibly 4 if we progress against Ballytown. So I'd say Russell was just probably erring on the side of caution there and throwing Nando in just to cover him. When you have a depth like that, these are the reasons that you sign an extra few players and cover yourself in those kind of positions, so you can keep your best players. Now, that's no disrespect to Nando. He's a fine defender, and he's shown that on many occasions this season. But he stepped in and filled the hole that Gary Buckley left after he was taken off, and I'd say it was just precaution more than anything from John Russell in taking Gary Buckley off.
And you mentioned depth there, Donal. We saw a debut yesterday with Caelan Barlow coming on, and before we talk about that, we'll just play a short piece that Donal did with Caelan after yesterday's game.
Caelan Barlow, first team debut this evening. How are you feeling?
I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm over the moon. Obviously, it's a club that I've been at since the age of 14 and 15, and I've obviously signed pro last season, and I've just been working really hard, and I'm just waiting for my debut. And luckily, I just want to thank John Russell for throwing me in there and trusting me. So yeah, look, I'm absolutely delighted. I hope it's the first of many.
So that's Caelan Barlow after yesterday making his debut for the Sligo Rovers senior men's team. Donal, great to see another young product coming through the academy at the Showgrounds.
Yeah, absolutely, Ronan. And it's like everybody knows at this stage, well, everyone in Sligo at this stage knows about the Sligo Rovers Academy. Like, we've shown time and time again that the pathway is there for young players to progress if they're talented enough, hungry enough, work hard, have the desire to press on and break into the first team. Like we saw there last night, there were 9 players who came through the underage system involved in the team, or involved in the game, and that includes Regan Donlan, who he featured for Finn Harps. But you know, he spent 7 years at Sligo Rovers, and when he was taken off, he walked off in front of the away fans and walked the whole way around the pitch. And when he was coming off, when he was coming down to the dugout past the main stand, he got a very warm round of applause and a very welcome reception back. Just because he's playing for our neighbours now doesn't mean that we've forgotten what an incredible servant to the club he was for the last 7 years. But just bringing it back to the academy as well, with Aina Clancy on the bench for the first time, it really shows that, like, John Russell's willing to put his faith into the younger players. And like they say, if you're good enough, you're old enough, and the chance is there if they want it.
And those 2 players you mentioned there, Aina Clancy and Caelan Barlow, they were actually in action today for the under-19s. They defeated UCD by 2-1, and the 2 goals were scored by Aina Clancy and Caelan Barlow. So I suppose Caelan Barlow has a bit of he's had a whirlwind 24 hours, Donald.
Yeah, been a busy weekend for Barlow anyway, and by all accounts his goal today was, I think he lobbed the keeper from the halfway line, so no messing around from him today. And yeah, I'm delighted for him. When I spoke to him last night, he was walking around the Showgrounds just kind of taking it all in, and he had a big smile on his face, and he's genuinely buzzing, as he said, to make his senior debut. So hopefully he can kick on now and we'll see a bit more of him this season.
And as well as this week, Donal, as well as the game against Finn Harps, we saw the Europa Conference League draw. And Sligo Rovers have been pitted up against Ballytown of Wales. So that game will be played. The first leg will be away from home on the 7th of July, with the return leg at the Showgrounds on Thursday, the 14th of July. So Sligo Rovers don't have far to travel, Donal, for the European game.
No, thankfully. Ballytown is a pretty easy place to get to from Sligo. It's not like we're going to Slovenia or Iceland or any of them kind of far-flung places that other teams might be heading off to. And even, not to be running before I can walk, but even Motherwell, if should we progress against Ballytown, is another handy draw in terms of the logistics. But yeah, looking ahead to Ballytown, I think it was the best draw that we could have got, considering the teams that were in the pot. I was kind of eyeing up Cliftonville, that would have been a handy one as well. But no, I think a lot of Rovers fans would be happy that we drew Ballytown. And I know that there's a lot of people heading towards Liverpool, Wrexham, all these places for a couple of nights in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm sure that they'll enjoy the trip. Hopefully the result will complement that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So Sligo Rovers will be in European action in the month of July. A busy month ahead, busy few weeks ahead, I suppose. This coming Friday, rather, they are playing Drogheda United away from home. So Drogheda were at the Brandywell, actually, there on Friday, and with a draw, I think, 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
So Sligo Rovers, they've already defeated Drogheda in Edingham Park already this season by 3-0. So they'll be hoping for something similar this weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, but the Drogheda that we played that night in Edingham Park is night and day from the Drogheda we're seeing at the moment. They were just starting to pick up a little bit before the break, and they continued that with a good draw. I think they were away to Derry on Friday night. A 1-1 draw up in the Brandywell is a good result for Drogheda. They're starting to kick on a little bit now. I thought at the start of the season when we played them, I was thinking that they were going to be in big trouble this year because the performance was so flat. Rovers just bossed the game. The game was over by half time, to be honest, and Rovers just kind of, it was a bit of a training session in the second half, really. And then they came to the Showgrounds and they made a game of it. 2 goals from David Cawley in that one put us 2-0 up very quickly, and Drogheda pulled it back to 2-2. They had a man sent off and Gary Buckley won it in injury time, but like the red card killed them. But 2 losses to Drogheda with the 2 boys they had on loan from Lincoln. They've been recalled, their goalkeeper Sam Long, who was in sensational form, and Sean Rowan. I know before he came to Drogheda he had a couple of Premier League clubs looking at him. I know Chelsea were linked to sign him, so I'd say he's taken his experience that he's had in the League of Ireland and gone back to compete in League One with Lincoln. So you know, Drogheda, they might be a little bit rattled or shaken by those departures, but if they continue the form that they're in, I think Drogheda will certainly provide a sterner test for Sligo Rovers than Finn Harps did last night.
Absolutely there. So just the Sligo Rovers next game, they're away to Drogheda next Friday evening at 7:45. So there's no senior women's game until the 2nd of July. However, news came through during the week that Sligo Rovers women's player and Tubbercurry native Pixie O'Hara has received a call up to the Ireland Under 19 women's squad ahead of a training camp and a friendly with England at the end of the month. Earlier on this week, Austin O'Callaghan caught up with Pixie to get her reaction to the call-up.
Well, it started off, I was up with a trial with the Irish team on last Monday. And then that evening, we got an email saying that I was on standby for the training camp over in England. And then the next day, we just got an email saying that I got called up. Steve Feeney sent me the email that was sent by like the FAI. So that's how I found out, and I was delighted, of course. Like,
and at the trial, did you feel you played well?
Yeah, I felt I done good, but I was a bit shocked at the same time because of how young I am and like still with the under 17s. So yeah, it was good.
Is this your first time to get a call up internationally for Ireland?
Yeah, it's my first time being like involved in the squad. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, I was called up for under 17 trials, but I didn't make it. So this is my first year with them.
And this is for the under 19 international squad. And what age are you?
I'm 16.
Okay, so I am guessing, relatively young on this squad for a call-up to the under-19 squad.
Yeah, I'd definitely be the younger side of it anyway.
And is it exciting to be preparing to jet off with the Irish team and to get ready for a match against England?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Bit nervous, but like I'm definitely going to learn stuff from the older girls on that. So I'm just excited to see what it brings.
I think in soccer circles, Pixie, your name is fairly familiar to a lot of people. Maybe they don't know too much about you, about your own footballing background. Where did playing soccer start for you, apart from the back garden, of course?
Well, I started with Real Tubber and then moved on into playing for like Leitrim and then got called into Rovers for the under-17s. But for the first year, I wasn't playing any matches or anything with them. I was still with Sligo Leitrim, but I was up training with them. And now it's brought me here.
And was soccer always your game growing up, or were you into other sports as well?
I did play Gaelic. Now I stopped this year, but I really enjoyed Gaelic as well.
And you mentioned your home club in South Sligo. You haven't mentioned your school yet. You've had a good bit of success with St. Attractus Community School.
We got to the All-Ireland semi-final against Buncrana, but it was a bit of wasn't our day, didn't get through. Now we're hoping to push on next year and win an All-Ireland final. But it was great success for the school.
I get the impression losing that semi-final still rankles with you, but you won a Connacht Senior A title, which is some achievement in college's soccer to do that.
Yeah, it was great. We were delighted, and then we just wanted to push forward.
And what's your position, Pixie? What's your favourite place to play in the pitch? Is it centre or midfield, up front, on the wing?
Well, for the senior team, I've been playing right back. And I enjoy that. But with under-19s, I'm right wing. So I don't really mind as long as I'm on the right side.
So you're obviously quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you enjoy that kind of freedom that role gives you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And your experience with the Sligo Rovers Academy teams then, what has that been like in terms of developing yourself as a player?
Really good. Like last year I was playing with the under-17s and under-19s, so I was getting a lot of game time in and learning different things, but now being with the seniors and stuff, it's different. It is very different, but I still really enjoy going down playing with the 19s and just seeing how the 17s are doing as well.
Sure. It's a nice environment to be around, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know many of the other Irish girls who've been picked, or will that be a getting to know you process when you go to the training camp?
It'll definitely be a getting to know process anyway. But I've played against a few of these girls for a few years now, so I would know all of them. But I'd say it should be fine.
I see. So from being rivals, you've now got to learn to be teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
And when people see the Republic of Ireland's under-19 squad list, they're going to see the name Kerry O'Hara. We know you better as Pixie O'Hara. Why does everybody call you Pixie?
Well, I suppose it was just ever since I was born, my uncle said I looked like a pixie because I was really small. And ever since then, that name has just stuck. So
you better give your uncle a name check and give him the credit, so do you?
Uncle Sean, yeah.
So he's responsible for your name.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're comfortable with both of them, and it's become a kind of a soccer name in Sligo now at this stage, hasn't it?
Yeah. It was a bit hard getting used to the Kerry, but it's fine now.
And does Mum mind? Does she mind which name you're called?
No, she doesn't really care.
Sure. So what's your football ambition, Pixie? This is your first Ireland call-up. You're thriving with Sligo Rovers. you're going into Leaving Cert next year with St. Attractus Community School. So I presume you'll play college football where time allows and exam commitments allows. You've got a lot going on potentially over the next 12 months.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like being involved with the seniors and, you know, Leaving Cert on and stuff. I don't really know where to go about it. I haven't really thought about it, but I would love just to potentially go to England and play, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, it's nice to have ambition and, you know, the sky's the limit. Who says you can't do that?
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to push on, potentially, like, keep getting called up for training camps with the Irish team and then just see where it goes from there, I suppose.
Well, you're a real Tubber woman, a Sligo Rovers woman. Is there a team across the water you support or keep an eye on?
Oh, yeah, Liverpool.
I'm liking you more already, Pixie. That's a good choice. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, we wish you the best of luck with the Republic of Ireland under-19s. When does your training camp begin and when's the England game, do you know?
Well, we're flying out on the 27th of this month and I'm nearly sure the game is on the 30th. So it's a 4-day training camp. I presume we're flying back on the 1st, but that's all I know now.
And the Women's National League, of course, has taken a mid-season break. You've been earning a place and getting a few minutes at Senior League of Ireland level with Sligo Rovers. Have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, you know, it's great getting game time, even starting and that. Like, and, you know, I'm always learning new stuff from the older girls, which I feel has really pushed me on. So, yeah, it's great to get game time in.
That's Pixie O'Hara speaking to Ocean FM Sports' Austin O'Callaghan about her recent call-up to the Ireland under-19 women's team. Donal, the sky's the limit for Pixie O'Hara.
Absolutely, absolutely. What a talent she is. Like, and still eligible for the Rovers under-17s. Like, and like, she's been very impressive anytime she's featured for Steve Feeney's side this season. You know, may not be the biggest or the strongest, but she certainly has plenty of fight in her. And she, I'll bring it back to Emma Doherty's goal against Wexford Utes when she got the winner. That was all because Pixie made that run up the field and pressed on the keeper, put her under pressure, and then the ball came to Emma Doherty and we all know what happened next. But, you know, she's a serious talent. As Austin said, the future is very bright for her and it was great to see that her talent has been recognised and she's getting a run in or getting a call up to the Ireland squad because while it's still a little bit above her age grade, like she'll slot in there no bother and hopefully she'll get a few minutes against England in that friendly.
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose it's great that Sligo Rovers, the first season of the Women's National League, and players aren't just being ignored. Players are obviously being seen as, you know, as equals to players that are more established, players that are in more established teams in the league as well.
Yeah, like you look at Emma Doherty as well, who's doing her Leaving Cert at the moment. I've no doubt that she would have been included in this squad for the Ireland under-19s. I know she'd featured in a couple of training camps already. She actually scored a couple of goals for Ireland so far this season already, I believe. No doubt that Rovers have another few bright prospects coming through the academy. No more than the men's team, there's a clear pathway for young girls that are coming up through the under-17s, the under-19s. We've seen a host of them playing for the senior team already. You look at Pixie, you look at Jessica Casey, you look at Kira Henry, who came off the bench for her first appearance for the senior team in the last game against Piemont. Although the result didn't go their way, I know a lot of people were, I think she came on for Pixie and Pixie got a big smile on her face coming off to as another one of her teammates from underage was getting a run out in the senior team. You know, that kind of thing means an awful lot to these youngsters that are coming through the academy. And like we say it time and time again, the pathway is there and it's all about the progression is there for them if they want to take it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose as well as that, like it's these players you mentioned there, the pathway, and these, like Kira Henry is also from Tubber Curry and herself and Pixie probably would have played on the, and Jessica Casey would have played for Real Tubber. So local teams are, you know, they are producing players to play at this high level.
Yeah, and that's
great to see. Like,
that is exactly, yeah, it is great to see. You know, like it's good that it kind of gives the Sligo Legion teams a bit more recognition as well. No more than Tina was saying earlier on, it's great to have that kind of coverage for these teams. And like, when it just shows how important the underage structures are, because the star players get a chance to move on and play at a higher level that they're capable of playing at. You look at Emma Doherty, like, we brought her down from Donegal, and like, she was tearing it up there, as far as I'm aware. So it's fantastic, and like I keep saying, you know, the chances are there for these young players, and hopefully they'll be given plenty of chances to take them.
And you mentioned there the women's team. So as I mentioned earlier on, they don't have a game now until the 2nd of July. But so far, I suppose, they've enjoyed a quite enjoyable campaign. Like, there's been some tough losses to take. But in the grand scheme of things, I suppose Steve Feeney and his staff will be happy with the start they've made to this National League campaign.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think they can be anything but happy. A lot of people would have had Rovers tipped to finish bottom by a stretch. I know a couple of prominent journalists in the who cover the Women's National League were tipping them to finish bottom, and I think that it was a fair enough expectation, to be honest. When you look at teams that have joined the league, they haven't really fared too well. The best record for a team joining the league in their first season was 26 points, and I think Rovers are 10 points off that already with half a season left to play. There's no limit on what this team can do. Like, I mean, this is not just another team. Like, this is Sligo Rovers. Women are part of Sligo Rovers. Like, the whole community will get behind them, just as they do with the men's team. And they've really been very impressive in their play. Like, they've come along so far in such a short space of time with seriously impressive performances. Again, Wexford, the victory there stands out. That's probably their biggest result of the season. And I think Wexford probably kind of came down thinking they had the game won before they got off the bus. But Rovers really put it up to them. And like, as you said, there were a couple of heavy defeats along the way where like teams like Piemont and DLR probably kind of showed their class and experience. And one other team that really impressed me in the showgrounds was Galway. They just had the experience and know-how and knew how to win the game, which is kind of probably what the girls were lacking at that stage of the season. But like I said, they've come on so far, and there's no reason why they can't progress further on up the table.
And this week also, well, this week coming up on Tuesday, the Sligo Rovers women's team will find out their opponents for the first round of the cup competition. So I suppose a chance now for another competition to be played. And I suppose we know ourselves the history that Sligo Rovers have in cup competitions and causing upsets and big days out. I suppose it's something to look forward to for Steve Feeney and the players.
Absolutely, yeah, and like a chance to get to progress on. You know, like, they could, God knows who they could be lucky enough to be drawn against. Hopefully they'll get a good enough draw for them, because it'll be great to see them progress through a couple of rounds in the cup. Because it'll only build confidence in the team as well. And this is a team that is building plenty of confidence already. You can see it in their performances, even though they went into the break with a kind of a heavy defeat. But like we've mentioned, Ronan, I don't think Steve would be too disheartened with where Sligo Rovers women are at the moment. And like I said there, hopefully they'll get a good draw in the cup and give them a chance to progress through a couple of rounds and keep building the squad morale and keep building a strong team and building on what they have already.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll just do a quick roundup of the academy results of the Sligo Rovers Academy this week. So in the boys under 14, it finished Sligo Rovers 2, Galway United 2. Jamie O'Malley and Shea McMorrow scoring the goals there. The men's under 17, Finn Harps 2, Sligo Rovers 1. Dara Patton with the goal for Sligo Rovers there. Women's under 17, DLR Waves 1, Sligo Rovers 0. The men's under 19, Sligo Rovers 2, UCD 1. It was Aina Clancy and Caelan Barlow scoring the goals there. And the women's under 19 league, Galway WFC 0, Sligo Rovers 1. Emer McIntyre scoring the goal there. So I suppose, Donal, just to kind of recap on all of it, I suppose there's been some defeats. Well, a defeat for the under 17 men's team. There's been a draw for the boys under 14, but two victories there for the under 19 teams, which I suppose many people would see as the next step to the senior teams and the Sligo Rovers Academy.
Yeah, mixed bag results there for all our teams this weekend, Ronan. But like you said, two wins for the under 19 teams, another goal for the women's under 19s for Emer McIntyre. She's popped up with a few there so far this season, and Farrah McDonough also saved the penalty in that game, so securing the points for the women's under 19s. I'm not sure what it is with the Rovers women keeper and saving penalties lately. Harking back to the Wexford game again with Amy Mahon securing the 3 points for Rovers. But Sophia McDonough, I'm sure she's impressing for the under 19. She's featured on the bench for Steve Feeney for the women's senior team. So no doubt that she'll be looking to get a couple of minutes under her belt for the senior team at some stage this season. And for the under-19s as well, Clancy and Barlow, we've touched on them already. You know, good to see Aina Clancy getting onto the bench for the senior team for the first time last night. The young fella from Manor Hamilton, I think he has a couple of... He's represented the Ireland schools, I think, a couple of times this season as well. So another youngster who has a promising future ahead of him. And Caelan Barlow, he looks for the under-19s. He looks like that kind of creative outlet, the kind of player that they give the ball to, and you know he'll make something happen. He'll do something, and that goal from the halfway line is just an example of what he can offer at that kind of level. Great to see him making his debut last night. Like you said, he was buzzing. Hopefully, it's the first of many to come. And I don't doubt that we'll see Caelan Barlow coming or making a good few appearances for Sligo Rovers senior team this year.
Absolutely, Donald. So thanks very much for joining me this evening, Donald.
No hassle, Donald. Thanks for having me.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rovers shine and shine forever. Na 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 na